from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Welcome back to hour number 2 of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number 2, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're hanging out with you until noon on Sacramento's Sports Leader. We'll talk about the Sixers and the players from Philadelphia that the... Well, from the Philadelphia 76ers, so not necessarily from the city of Philadelphia. the Sixers players that the Kings could go pursue this offseason. I want to remind you that Pacers-Celtics is tonight at 4:30 right here on ESPN 1320. That's coming up after D'Lo and KC. D'Lo and KC, by the way, coming up at noon, and they will take you until 4 o'clock. Real quick, before we get to the 76ers, Jesse's here, the producer for D'Lo and KC.
Of course.
Wonderful person. I learned yesterday he's never been to Arby's.
Oh, really?
Never once.
Huh.
Have you not been to Arby's?
No, I've been to Arby's.
Oh, okay. Whew.
No, to be honest, I like their sub sandwiches better than most of their like roast beefs.
I get a wrap. They do this like chicken tender wrap that's delicious.
Okay.
It absolutely smokes when you're going down I-5, you're driving to Southern California, and you stop to get gas, and there's an Arby's, you grab that wrap, and you open it up on the freeway. Oh, it's the best. With some curly fries? Are you joking?
See, I don't like curly fries. I don't know why. I don't. They're like the diet soda of... Oh, Kyle's pissed. They literally are like the diet soda of French fries. Just call me crazy. I don't like curly fries. I don't like waffle cut fries.
This is nuts. This is insane.
And
what?
I've never been to Chick-fil-A ever. Never.
Like that's, I mean, I know there's like off-field stuff with Chick-fil-A so far.
Yeah.
But bro, throw it, Jesse.
Just for that take, James. Go on.
That's unbelievable. That's
I've been flagged.
It's a great call by the official. Great call by the official. That is not. No.
I don't
curly
fries. No
Chris
waffle cut. No. No.
Is it the seasoning?
Yeah.
Because Chick-fil-A, they do waffle cut fries, but there's no, it's a French fry that's waffle cut. There's no additional seasoning. You would eat that.
Well, no, because I don't go to Chick-fil-A, but outside of
No. But that's
maybe
if I went to,
if it tastes like a French fry, then yes.
So if I pulled up with Chris Cut fries from Carl's Jr. I don't know what the sponsors are, but sorry if you're a competitor. If I, and if you want to sponsor the show, hit us up. Chris Cut fries, love them. If I pulled up with Chris Cut fries, you'd be like, no, thank you. I don't want those, but thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. But if I pulled up with Chick-fil-A fries, which are Chris Cut fries, waffle fries, but without the seasoning, they're just, it has the texture and flavor of a French fry. you would eat those.
Well, yeah, I don't have a problem with the shape of
Okay, that's what I was wondering. That was my problem.
No.
Like, that was going to be my... If you're like, the fry seasoning, I don't like it. Oh, okay, that's nuts, yeah. But okay. That at least tracks to me logically.
Yeah.
The shape deal would not have tracked to me.
No, it's I don't like the flavor of them.
Okay.
Like I said, they kind of remind me of, like, the taste of them. And that most of those are made by the same company. The taste of them... Like, it's like diet. They taste okay. Like a version of like a diet Pepsi versus a Pepsi. Like, it just has a weird taste, and I don't like the taste.
All right. Well,
just saying.
No judgment here. That's man.
I feel like I've been judged.
That was shocking. No, not judging. Room. It's not judgment. It's not judgment because I don't eat what you want. Eat what makes you happy. That's my whole thing. I'm just floored. man, wild. Anyways. The 76ers.
Yeah, the 76ers. The list is so long.
The list is ridiculous. What we should have done is non is Sixers not on the list. Should have been the bit. But anyways, Paul Reed came up. He's got 2 years and $15.8 million left. I think Paul Reed is definitely more of a flyer than a player like Nick Claxton. He's proved less, but I think he could be the same type of player. So if you want to run the too big idea, I don't hate the idea of Paul Reed. And he can also shoot it a little bit. He doesn't do it on very high volume. But he is capable of stepping out and hitting a jumper.
That would be my question. Can he actually space the floor a little bit and give you more? He won't be 25 until June 14th. You know, again, coming out of college, he's a guy that you thought could probably shoot it a little bit. Shot 36.8% this last year. And he blocked a shot in 19.4 minutes per game. I'm intrigued by him, but I also think his numbers are a little inflated, and is 7.3, 0.6 rebounds, but a little inflated because he started so many games when Embiid was hurt. So,
yeah,
I would at least be intrigued as a guy who could potentially play alongside Sabonis.
Sure.
I'm just not sure that there's a big difference between Paul Reed and Trey Lyles.
Okay. I think Trey Lyles is better.
168, 169. Yeah, I think Trey Lyles is better as well.
Yeah, he's more.
And that's
of a,
where I would kind of put it. Like, I don't think that you're going out there and trying to improve your roster with a Paul Reed.
Okay. I wrote down Tobias Harris.
He's intriguing, isn't
he? I know that anybody listening to this, anybody watching this is probably like, hard no, Tobias Harris stinks. Tobias Harris stinks because he's made so much freaking money.
Yes.
Tobias Harris has always been this like enigma and idea of like, wow, 6'8", scorer, he can defend. Man, this is the prototypical NBA wing. And then he's just been underwhelming at every single point in his career.
He is Harrison Barnes, just a little bit, like career-wise, he's going to be a little bit better.
Yeah. Right.
And he's almost 32, like very, very similar player. 16.3 points per game for his career.
I think he's probably going to get more than this, which will probably take. But dude, if you can fit Tobias Harris in the mid-level.
Oh yeah.
Like he's going to get, he's probably going to get more than that. But when I put him on this list, that's what I'm talking about, is you would love Tobias Harris on that kind of contract.
Oh no, totally. And I think he's probably going to get more like what Harrison got, like 17, 18, 19.
Yeah.
Like that's probably where he's going to go. But again, I think he also has the opportunity to go play wherever he wants. And he's a guy who's tremendous in the community, who's given back a ton.
Mm-hmm.
I think him and his brother have a project in LA where they do all kinds of good. And maybe that's where he ends up. But you know how much he's made for his career?
$200 million.
You're short by 50. $250.
That's crazy.
He's on a 5-year.
Good for him, though. Good for Tobias Harris.
Yeah, he just finished a 5-year 180.
Oof. Man. Like, that's why Tobias Harris has been underwhelming, is the contracts, not necessarily the play. If you can get him for, like, a mid-level type of deal, I'd 100% be in. If you start talking about 18, 19 million, I'm probably closer to out than in. Kelly Oubre, same kind of deal for me.
Yeah.
I like Kelly Oubre a lot.
I like Kelly Oubre, too. I would want to know, again, we've talked about this, what Mike Brown and what Jay Triano think. They both coached him. mm-hmm. and liking him from the outside and then seeing him as a player and like how he shows up to your building, what effort, all that stuff, like how difficult is he? Because he's a guy with a personality that
no doubt
like stands out. And then of course, like we've talked about this, he also played AAU ball with De'Aaron. They're friends, and like the body style, the 6'7" long, athletic, super high flyer, like gets out in the open court and runs. He's a mistake prone player, but one of those guys that you're like, okay, I think I'm intrigued. He also like lost the ability to make a lot of money somewhere along the way. So he's a guy that once you take a lower salary in the NBA, it is really, really difficult to ever get back. And he's one of those guys who's, you know, again, just the money wise, he was a guy of 15 million, 14 million, 12, 12.6. This last year with the 76ers, he made $2 million bucks. And so that's crazy. I would expect him to make a little bit more, but could you get him for a biannual exception? Maybe like 4.7? Like, I don't know.
He's probably going to get more than that, but I'd give him part of your mid-level for sure.
Well, maybe, maybe not, though. I mean, like, look, once a guy comes down in salary, a lot of times he doesn't get to go back up. And at 28 years old, like, he would improve your depth and give you something unique and different.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm right there. De'Anthony Melton, a favorite of our guy Mitch in New Jersey. I think you have to throw him in the potential Malik Monk replacement bucket.
Yeah.
If we're throwing all these other guys in there, I think you have to throw De'Anthony Melton in there too.
Yeah, you made such a great like statement to me.
Yes.
You did. Yes. You said like the players we're going to look at as a potential replacement if you somehow lose Monk.
Mm-hmm.
Like how did you view Monk 2 years ago?
Right.
And what would that mean? And so you put a player in the right situation and they can flourish.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know if you're going to find the next
Yeah,
Malik Monk, but I would definitely say like Tony Delk was really intriguing for the Kings,
mm-hmm.
and then Bobby Jackson came along, was just so much better.
Sure,
like not really, like they were both really good in their mm-hmm. role for the Kings.
Yeah,
but there's another guy out there that possibly, if you do lose Malik, hopefully you don't, but if you do, that could fit in and maybe like develop in the same way.
If they have to replace Malik, they're not adding a sixth man of the year candidate.
No,
that's just not. It's going to be a player that feels underwhelming compared to what Malik Monk did last year.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to look and we're going to go, wow, this guy's 9 points and 2.4 assists for his career. I don't know. And you hope that he grows into that role. Like that's just kind of what it's going to be. So I think you have to put De'Anthony Melton there. I wrote down Robert Covington because I remember Robert Covington playing basketball like 7 years ago, and I think it'd be a nice fit.
Yeah, if they would have got him 5 years ago, it would have been great. But at this point,
Training camp flyer maybe, but and then KJ Martin. Another guy I would take a flyer on for sure.
Yeah, I definitely would at least look at him. Mm-hmm. He's in that group of players that the Kings need to find one of those guys.
Yes. Yeah. So I would definitely love to see KJ Martin here as well. All right, that's it. That does it. That's the Atlantic Division. We've done it. Congratulations, James. We have put together a full list. And I will, like I said, I'm going to figure out a way to get this list out so it's available for people to mess with and tear apart and like and dislike and all that jazz. So good idea or bad idea? That's coming up next, featuring Michael Wilbon, the Cleveland Cavaliers, and Dak Praline. That's all coming up next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
That guy right there is James. Me, I'm Kyle. And you're you. And keep being you. We appreciate it very much. Thanks for hanging out with us here on Sacramento Sports Leader. We're taking you up till noon. Then D'Lo and KC will take over. Eastern Conference Finals Game 2 is tonight. Boston hosting the Indiana Pacers, a thriller in game one, 133-128, overtime win for the Celtics. We'll have coverage of that game for you on ESPN 1320 at 4:30 today. All right, it's time for some good idea, bad idea, featuring some sound. If you're unfamiliar with the program, James and I go through the headlines every day. We find three things, not necessarily headlines, but three things we saw, whether it was a headline or something on the internet or whatever, in the world, and decide whether that thing that happened is a good idea or a bad idea. And we're going to open up with Mike Wilbon, Mike Wilbon on Pardon the Interruption, the great show that he hosts with Tony Kornheiser, went on a little bit of a rant against the use of exit velocity on baseball broadcasts. Here you go.
So let me ask you something. The velo, the exit velo, does it mean he's a better hitter than Tony Gwynn, who might have dribbled the frill through the infield in his day and hit about, you know, 330 career and flirted with 400 once? Meaning a better hitter than him? And so what? So what? He's a 260 hitter. So why do I give a damn about the exit velo? I don't. Mm-hmm. And so I guess people need this, Tony, to become interested and more fascinated. And they go, oh, wow. Not only do I not go, oh, wow, it has started the ruination of watching sports for me. Numbers like this repeatedly and put up on the screen day in, day out. It has ruined it because people aren't concentrating on the fact that he is 260 instead of 330. They're concentrating on exit velo.
I've never heard a person sound more out of touch.
Yeah.
Like, first of all, baseball has evolved and adapted well beyond the use of batting average to determine whether a hitter is good or not. Like, that's just, there's so much data and there's so much more thinking behind the sport. Mm-hmm. And now a guy hitting a .190 is usually worse than a guy hitting .350. Like, that's the case. But hitting .260 is not bad now. Just an FYI, just based on how the game has changed. Two, nobody uses exit velocity to say that O'Neal Cruz, that's the player he's talking about, the Pirates shortstop. Nobody is saying that exit velocity means that O'Neal Cruz is a better hitter than Tony Gwynn. It's just a fun thing. You know how they show the pitcher velocity? It's the same deal. It's the exact same thing. It's just when O'Neal Cruz or Elly De La Cruz or Matt Chapman or Brent Rooker or whoever hits the heck out of a baseball, we can put a number on it. You go, wow, Shohei Ohtani hit that a mile. And you go, yeah, actually it was 117 miles an hour off the bat. It's like, wow, that's all. That's the long and short of it.
Yeah, I totally agree, Kyle. I don't understand. I like my favorite player growing up, and it's kind of weird because I'm an A's fan from the time of I was very young, but my favorite player growing up was Rod Carew. And again, a slap hitter, batted 388 one season.
All-timer.
Absolutely tremendous, broke 3,000 hits. He stole home 14 times one season.
That's nuts.
He didn't hit home runs at all. Like, I think his career high was like 14 home runs. I don't care what his exit velocity was. The dude with the stick in his hand could put the ball anywhere on the field that he wanted.
No doubt.
And I do think that you can, like, you've been around Major League Baseball players. I was surprised going into a Major League Baseball clubhouse and looking around and going, holy cow, every dude here is yacked. So if you want to talk about what's changed the game, the fact that these guys hit the ball so hard, sure, like velocity, exit velocity, whatever you want to call it, they're hitting the ball hard because they are like not, they're like, you walk into a gym, every Major League Baseball player is one of the biggest dudes at your gym. Like that's or like they're
surprisingly stacked.
Yes.
Yeah.
All of them.
No
and
doubt.
So that's where I kind of look at this and say, okay, yeah, maybe the finer nuances of baseball, but putting something up on the screen, I mean, that doesn't really matter.
It's just a fun data point.
Yeah.
Nobody is trying to use it to determine how good of a hitter O'Neal Cruz is. Mm. In fact, just to on the batting average aspect of this, O'Neal Cruz is hitting .256. The league team batting average, the league average in that stat is .240. The Dodgers as a team hit .256. They are fourth in the league in batting average right now.
Oh.
The days of punching it through the left side of the infield don't exist anymore. A, because teams have realized that there's not a ton of value in that because defenses are so much better at determining where guys are going to hit.
Yep.
B, pitchers are so much better at pitching to their defense. It's not just the nine guys line up, and yeah, okay, maybe the shortstop shifts over a couple steps because Tony Gwynn is batting, and you know he likes to use the 5.5 hole, so we're going to shift a couple of steps toward the third baseman if you're the shortstop. No, it's not. No, you have guys throwing 98 miles an hour with movement in on a batter's hands because they want them to pull the baseball. And so that batter's one course of action, their one major recourse to that is, yeah, I'm going to swing out of my shoes because the most value I can get out of this contact is hitting it over the fence.
Yep.
Like, that's it. That's where the game is. And if you don't like baseball anymore, that's why. It's not because they put exit velocity on the screen.
Mm. I'm with you, Kyle. Get out my lawn.
Bad idea, Mike Wilbon. Terrible idea. Number two, James, the Cavs are parting ways with head coach JB Bickerstaff. Good idea or bad idea?
I'm not there. I don't know if he's lost a room. That's always my determination for whether a coach needs to go. When a coach loses a room, it's time for you to go.
Yep.
That's always been what I've said about all of these guys. And maybe he lost a room. Maybe there is a coach that can take you to the next level. I'd also, maybe you consulted Donovan Mitchell and said, what would make you stay? Is there someone out there we could get? How can we help you?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the reason is, they probably have a reason.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. It's a bummer for JB because he's always a bridesmaid, never a bride. Like, he bounced around the league as, like, everyone's interim head coach.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll probably be the same thing this year. Some team is going to pick him up that is not 100% convinced about who their coach is. And if they need to fire their coach midseason, they'll have a guy like JB Bickerstaff on their staff.
Yep.
Yeah, it's tough.
I think it's a bad idea if they're doing this in hopes of keeping Donovan Mitchell around. But if they're doing this because they went, hey, we've capped out, he's lost a locker room, this is just, then it's fine. But yeah, I'm really interested to see who they hire and what's next for them. Ramsey, I see you on the line. Hang in there. We will get to you first thing next segment. Last thing for us here, James, though, before we hit the break. Dak Prescott says, told reporters in a room with air in it that he doesn't play for money. Good idea or bad idea?
It's probably a bad idea to vocalize that,
so
especially
bad.
When you're looking to get your new contract, right? But
also, a minor league baseball player once said, anybody who tells you they wouldn't play for money has never played for money.
Yeah.
And anybody who plays for money who says they wouldn't is lying. Okay, Dak, then prove it. When you hit free agency, prove it. Be like, I want this team to be as good as humanly possible around me. I will take $2 million a year. Great. Prove it then, if you're all about it. And that's why this is a bad idea, because now, if you go sign a $50 million contract, people are going to be like, wow. All right, guess he's not serious about it. No, well.
I also think
it is for the money.
Like, it makes, there's a certain complacency that goes with making a statement like that mm-hmm. people worry about. Like, whether he's complacent or not, I don't think he is, but the fact that people are going to go, dude, you should be playing to make your team better and to make as much money as possible.
Yeah.
That's like the job.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a tough.
Crazy.
Yeah. I don't hate it.
I do this for money.
Yeah.
I'm joking. All right. We got a break. Ramsey, I don't want to put you on air now and have to like rush you off the phone and not get to what you want to say. So hang in there through the break and we'll get to you first thing next segment. Your calls at 916-909-1320. I've got another salary cap related question for James, and we'll talk about tonight's game two of the Eastern Conference Finals between the Pacers and Celtics. Plus, we'll have the handoff with Damian Barlin coming up on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
He's James, I'm Kyle. We're hanging out with you until noon. The handoff with, I believe it's Damian today. Coming up in about 10 or so minutes. Before we get to, I have a thing I want to say about Bottle Rock, and then James, I want to ask you a salary cap related question. Before we get to that, though, Ramsey, what's going on, man?
Just got inspired by the whole Wilbon baseball thing and speaking about best hitter in baseball, which San Diego just traded for less than a month ago in Luis Arraez.
Facts.
He's just like what Ham described in a Rod Carew type. Hits for average,
yep.
Runs well, doesn't, and we don't worry about what the exit velocity is of any bat ball that comes off his bat.
Right.
And anytime he gets a hit, it just finds a spot. And
yep.
The dude is impressive, and I read an article that was on ESPN earlier this week that said San Diego's about to fall in love with him because it's probably the best hitter they had since Tony Gwynn.
Yep, that's facts. Appreciate the call, Ramsey. And the thing is about that, I don't want to do a whole, like, Luis Arraez segment, but Tony Gwynn was one of the most famous players in baseball because he was considered one of the best hitters in baseball.
Yeah.
I agree wholeheartedly with Ramsey that Luis Arraez, from a pure, like, what we think of as a good hitter, contact, like you said, runs well, can hit against a shift. There's just not a lot of ways to easily go about defending. He was just a really, really quality hitter, right? If I went outside into downtown Sacramento and said, who's the best hitter in baseball? I could probably ask 500 people and not get a Luis Arraez.
That's crazy.
Yeah, maybe one. You'd probably get a weird, like, Marlins fan or San Diego fan who happens to be. But if I ask 500 people, I bet it would be less than 10 would give me Luis Arraez.
It's crazy. If you go through the history of baseball, you can pick out, like, who is the best hitter in baseball, like, during each era, right? Mm-hmm. And just pure hitter.
Sure.
That's what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. So, like, whether it's Ted Williams or you get
Nap
to...
Nap Lajoie,
yeah,
obviously.
Yeah, you get to, again, the Rod Carew era.
Sure.
Like George Brett for a short amount of time was mm-hmm. considered one of the great
Pete
hitters.
Rose.
Wade Boggs, Pete mm-hmm. Rose. Like, so you can always look at these, like, eras and break them. Even, like, we got to, what's his name?
Albert Pujols?
Well, okay,
Miguel
Pujols
Cabrera?
For sure, but even before that was Ichiro. Ichiro is the best hitter in baseball, the best pure hitter in baseball. Like, you can't get a ball by him.
Yeah.
Like, if he wants to foul off 15 consecutive pitches, he could, just to mess with you.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think we've lost some of that, which I think is part of the reason why the game isn't as fun to watch for me personally. Sure. Because they're the joy of hitting. When you look at the A's team batting average, which is a bad example because they're the A's, but they're batting .207 as a team. Like, that's not good.
I've got them up to .219.
They're up to .219?
Still bad, by the way.
Okay, yeah. So 22% of the time, 21.9% of the time,
come on,
somebody gets a hit. That's a tough watch. And I think it's, like, we used to call it the Mendoza line for a reason. Like Manny Mendoza couldn't, like, he was a 200 hitter. It's like, that's the line.
Yep.
And so what are we doing now?
Like, now you can be a 200 hitter as long as you draw some walks and hit home runs.
Yeah.
As that's kind of,
I don't even think you have to be crazy. A great fielder to do that.
No.
Yeah, it's wild.
It's wild how much the game has changed, for sure. Let's talk about our NBA salary cap question for the day. This isn't necessarily salary cap related, but as we were going through our whole list of players, okay, here's who they could go get from New York or Brooklyn or whoever. You know, you've got unrestricted free agents versus restricted free agents.
Yes.
In the NFL, I've got that down. I know what it is. But in the NBA, I am always unsure. So how do you differentiate? And I know what the differences are. Unrestricted free agent can sign with anybody. Restricted free agents, they're a free agent, but there are restrictions on, you know, team has a right of first refusal, all that. So, A, what determines an unrestricted versus a restricted free agent? And then B, what are the options when a restricted free agent is available?
Okay, so this can get slightly complicated, but just
think I'm 5 years
this,
old.
Think of it this way. Anyone who's in their first contract, their first NBA contract, so first round picks all get a 4-year deal. It used to be a 4-year guaranteed deal. Now there are team options at year 3, year 4, right? So if a player is in his first 4-year contract, it's when he goes to get his next contract. After the first 4-year ends, there's a device called a qualifying offer. If a team gives a qualifying offer after the fourth year, then that player, and it's based off of his salary, it's based off a percentage, like all, there's a formula for it.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's offered a qualifying offer after his fourth year, he becomes a restricted free agent, which means that if he tries if he wants to leave and he goes and signs what's called an offer sheet, the team that he's played for in the past now has a window to go and match that offer sheet. The window keeps changing. It used to be like 6 days and then it got to 72 hours. I think it's down to 48 hours. It's either 24 or 48 hours at this point. So a team has to say, yes, we're going to pick up that contract, or no, we're not going to.
You get a week in the NFL.
Yeah, yeah. The NBA, because their moratorium on signing players is so short. So free agency opens on June 30th, July 1, July 2, July 3, July 4, July 5. July 6 is the end of the moratorium. You can't actually sign a contract during that time. Guys can agree to a contract, but you can't actually sign one. That's when you have like a signing day. Everyone signs on July 6th, whatever it is. So the moratorium keeps getting shorter too. So what basically a restrictive free agent, just saying, even if it's a guy who's a second round pick, his first 4 years, if you manage him correctly, are still, when he goes to leave his fourth year, he'll be a restricted free agent. Now, if a player as a restrictive free agent has a couple of options, number one, he can just accept a qualifying offer and play for that. And then after that year, his fifth season with the team, he can go out and become an unrestricted free agent. But that's risky. If you get hurt, whatever, your stats go down,
sure,
a team gets angry with you and decides not to play you a bunch, that's one thing. Then if we look at unrestricted free agents, anytime you get past like that second NBA contract, that's when you're typically an unrestricted free agent. So you play your first 4 years, and then you sign another 3 or 4 year deal, and then all of a sudden you're unrestricted. There's also ways in which, like, if you're waived, you can become an unrestricted free agent, like, in the first 4 years of your contract. There are different ways in which you can become an unrestricted free agent. Like, Nick Claxton is after, I think, he's year five, and he's unrestricted. Very rarely does a player play for the restricted free agent qualifying offer.
Mm-hmm.
It's only happened maybe three or four times that I can remember, because then it becomes really convoluted. And I also think there's restrictions on a team being able to trade you during that season. Like, I think you have to give approval to get traded, because your Larry Bird rights get destroyed if you're traded in that situation. So it's complicated, but restricted gives, if they give a qualifying offer, it gives a team the right of first refusal.
Mm-hmm.
Unrestricted is basically almost any player who's ending the second contract. So that's why OG Anunoby is at the end of his second contract and he would be unrestricted.
Mm-hmm.
Domantas Sabonis would have been unrestricted this summer, but the Kings renegotiated and extended his contract last year.
Right.
And so now he's tied up under contract. Malik Monk, end of his second contract, he is an unrestricted free agent.
Got it.
Even he was unrestricted the year before.
So basically, any player who gets to the end of their rookie deal is restricted for that first free agency.
If there's a qualifying offer given, which again, Malik Monk, they didn't give a qualifying offer when he was in Charlotte. So he became an unrestricted free agent when they decided not to extend a qualifying offer.
Got it. Okay.
He went on to go play for the Lakers for a league minimum deal. And then the next year's when he was again unrestricted, he signs a 2-year, $19 million deal with the Kings.
Got it. Yeah. Okay. Very good. It's 5 days, by the way, in the NFL that you have to match the offer.
Okay.
Not so.
I could look it up in the NBA. It's changed the last couple of years.
Sure.
It just keeps getting shorter.
Let's talk about the conference championships, conference finals, whatever. We're talking football. I got you. It's fine. Eastern Conference Finals. Pacers-Celtics game 2 tonight.
Mm.
I was impressed by how well the Pacers played, to be sure. I think the overreaction to the Celtics winning, by the way, was insane. Totally bonkers. I honestly think if they had just lost that game by like 8 points, I think the general consensus, you would have had your hot takes out there, but I think the general consensus would have been like, feel out game for the Celtics. They've lost a game in each of their series. They're fine moving forward. But it's like the fact that they won, there was this push to like discount that they won and be like, actually they were a Jaylen Brown miss away from losing that game. Ergo, like, dude, they won.
Yeah.
And it was a feel out for me. It was a feel out game. I don't think that Boston is going to do the thing that you've wondered why teams are doing and trying to run with the Pacers. I don't think we'll see Boston do that again. I think you're going to see a pretty sizable defensive adjustment from Boston that slows the Pacers down a lot. And I think they comfortably go up 2-0 in this series. And all the, oh, is Jason Tatum this? And oh, can they do that? And are they actual contender? Like, yes, they are. They're the best team in the NBA. And I think I think they're going to show it tonight.
I think the only problem that the Celtics have is that they have a track record for doing this. Where
definitely.
There are times where you wonder, are they a serious team?
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy because they've won so much. They've got this far so many times, it feels like. But are they fully locked in and fully serious? And they have a lot of serious players, mm-hmm. especially now. Like adding Jrue Holiday, the Derek White trade when they acquired him and then giving him an extension. Like, these are serious ball players.
Mm-hmm.
There's no messing around with those guys. And I think they've done a lot to legitimize Al Horford, a serious, serious player. Now, whether or not, you know, Al Horford can stay on the floor against a team like this.
Sure.
Again, that's going to come down to one thing, man. Can you slow the game down? Like, if you're going to make a 38-year-old Al Horford like put on track shoes and run up and down the court for 24 minutes a game, you're going to be in trouble. And not only that, but when you allow the game to get out of control like that and to the pace, and it's literally called pace and space for a reason. That's the space is the other part where Al Horford's going to have problems. If you collapse the court and make it a smaller game, you're going to be just fine, which is what I think they will do in Boston, because they're a very, very good season team.
Yep.
We may have seen the best punch that the Pacers could throw in game one.
Yep.
And now you could see what a heavyweight fighter looks like after he took a standing eight count.
Yeah.
Now we get to see.
The other thing with, you talk about like a veteran presence and a winning player. I think Drew Holiday's fingerprints were all over that win the other night. In the fourth quarter, he scores, was it 8 points? He goes 4 of 5. He has a couple of rebounds. He dishes out an assist. They put him on Tyrese Halliburton and put him in a locker. He was 0-for-2 in the fourth quarter.
Oof.
I mean, Drew Holiday was huge down the stretch. We talked about that a little bit with Minnesota too. The value of having a veteran point guard like Mike Conley in Minnesota, that hey, when things are a little dicey, you know what? Get the ball in his hands and let him work. Let him settle things down, get into your offense and get a good look. Whether the shot's going or not, you know, that's going to happen or it's not. But I just think the value of having, I think they were hoping to get it with Malcolm Brogdon, but I think the value of getting a championship winner in Drew Holiday, who is arguably the best point of attack defender in the NBA, who can also distribute, who can also score it, I think he's invaluable.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think they also, this is a team that has multiple players that are kind of like that. That when things get crazy, things get a little out of control, that you can start to feature and like regain control. The other thing, I think you can go ISO with Jason Tatum and slow the game down and say, okay, we're going to get a bucket 55% of the time right here.
Yep.
And you can create ways in which that number can go way up higher, right? I think you can use a Derek White in the same fashion where, you know, having a secondary ball handler like Derek White, like really does give you, it's almost like what we talk about with Fox and Monk. If you have that second guy who can handle the ball, distribute, slow things down, create off the dribble, do some things that maybe the other player isn't great at, or maybe they're just doing the same thing, but you've got two of them. Again, that's how you slow the game down. And I think, again, you want to beat that team. Everybody hits the glass. Don't let them get out and run. Be efficient offensively. If you're efficient offensively, all of a sudden the game slows down just because you're pulling the ball out of the basket every time. And and I think Indiana's going to try to run and run and run. If you can slow them down, they can run themselves right out of a game if you're being concise and hitting your shots and they're not.
It's time for the handoff, Damian Barling. Damian, I feel so, because of the way the schedule goes, we're only going to talk to you about Pacers and Celtics games.
Okay, it's fine.
Just
with
FYI.
Me. That's fine.
You're our Pacers Celtics correspondent.
Yeah, I love the series.
It's super fun. And you know what? Exactly what you said before Tuesday night's game happened. You're like, man, they can shoot the heck out of the ball. They can get out and run. They can make Boston uncomfortable. And they can go, of course, they can go, can, not that they will, go win this series. And despite the way the game turned out, I came away like, wow, all right, Damian was right.
Yeah, well, what I think more too, is everything James said was 100% accurate, but what I think was the real like moment of that game, it's not a moment, it's the story of the game, was the fact that prior to Jaylen in the corner, at the end of regulation, the score was 117 to 114. To me, you know, you wake up the next day, oh, game one was 117-114. Oh, Boston won that. Like, Indiana probably didn't cut out a game where they didn't score 125, 128, 130, something like that.
Yeah.
So the fact that they were in the position that they were to win that basketball game 117-114, which is far from a low-scoring game, but it's not a crazy high-scoring game either.
Right.
It was one of the more complete basketball games. I feel like I thought they worked really, really hard on the defensive end, and we kind of argued whether they were good defensively or adequate. Like, I thought they worked really hard, and sometimes the effort can go a really long way, especially when you haven't seen it a ton from them this year. Watching game one, regardless of what happens tonight or the next three games, whether they win, lose, whatever, it just strengthens how I feel about them next year. I think the Pacers are an extremely legitimate basketball team.
Yeah, I think so too.
I still think they have an uphill battle this year. I still think Boston is the team, but they're showing signs to me of what they could be in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah,
you know, moving forward.
I think so too.
Yeah, I think they're growing in the way again that I think we saw the Kings grow in the series against the Warriors, where they just kept getting better defensively.
Sure,
I think they are growing, and so this is why this experience is so valuable.
Yeah. Sure.
Like, I don't know if
that game one
might
have been if Steph hits that one-legged shot in game one against the Kings. That's probably the equivalent of what would have happened had that shot gone in, right?
Yeah.
Like, because it was a 3-point game at the time. Steph hits that shot, and in the arena where I was standing, it was like, oh, yeah, that's trash. That's a good look. Let's go, Kings. Then I get home to watch, and I'm like, oh, my God.
You texted
me. He had a look.
You texted me, and you were like, that the fact that that's a good look is insane.
Absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. But what that game might have been for the Pacers, like that might have been the Kings' alternate universe the other night, is what it looked like when Jaylen's shot went in.
Man, that was tough.
Yeah, first of all, he got the memo about the olive green as well.
Yeah, you messed up, dog.
I did not get the memo. You, Charlie.
Yeah. I have an olive green jacket.
Kyle.
James is in colorblind.
You all got the memo.
Yeah, we all pulled up in olive green today.
Olive green is the look.
If Kenny shows up today in olive green, I'm going to be very upset.
He's going to show up in like a Malik Monk t-shirt or something. Oh, we coming for some necks today. Oh, my man Stan Van Gundy. I hate it. My man Stan Van got to lose his vote. You see what you... They put out the complete ballots.
Oh, I did not see that.
Oh yeah, they out there. Oh, it fell off
that,
my Twitter.
I'm happy Stan, that we're getting smoke on the show.
I love Stan Van.
Domantas Sabonis, third team All NBA. By the way,
air horns.
That's just the truth, dog.
The worst. Stan had something outrageous like T.J. McConnell or something.
What?
Like, sir,
is he what?
What are you doing?
Man. For whom?
For
what?
Six, we're taking inventory of people.
Oh, for
who
six
didn't
man.
Vote.
I thought you were talking about all NBA.
No. We're taking inventory of who didn't vote.
I love this. Do you want to get Stan
we
Van
went,
on?
No, we went Norm Powell,
you can
Bobby.
Get a Stan Van Gundy on?
Yeah.
We done it before. Norm Powell, Bobby Portis, and TJ McConnell was who he went with.
Norm Powell. Who else?
Bobby Portis. TJ McConnell. That's who we went with for
Wow.
Huh.
Bill Simmons.
That's unique.
Bill Simmons put Malik at three.
Behind Nas and Portis?
Portis, yep.
Okay.
Yeah, now we're taking inventory of anyone who didn't.
Bill Simmons is going to be a tougher
game. Kevin Pelton. Put Bogey at the six, man. Get out of here.
Kevin Pelton, go make exercise bikes.
Yeah, no, we're coming. No, that. Mm-mm. No.
I think I just saw it.
Bring gas.
But, well, do that too. And then. And
got
then, Ham's boy.
What?
Bontemps.
What?
He went Bogey as well.
Oh.
And Malik at two.
What are we doing? He voted Bogey one?
He voted Bogey one. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, he voted Bogey one.
For
yep.
who? For what? For...
Did we figure out who gave Domantas Sabonis?
I haven't gotten that far.
That's Mark Jones.
I've zeroed in. It's canon.
In my head.
I've zeroed in on six man of the year. I haven't ventured far out of it. But we got 4 hours. We can go over everybody. I'm not confident Mark Jones has a vote? Question mark?
Oh.
Oh. Stephen A. Smith went Nas Reed, Norman Powell, of course.
Mm.
Yeah, you got to get his L.A. guy in there.
Winhurst. Shout out Winhurst. Well, my boy. I know my boy. Oh, Wilbon. Wilbon went Norm Powell number
one. Hey, no, Wilbon. No, Wilbon. Wilbon is no, he's persona non grata on this show right now.
Word?
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Did he call you out your name too, like Luka did?
No, absolutely not.
He would never do that.
No, definitely not. Michael Wilbon's great dude. This is a bit.
Yeah.
No, he went on a whole thing on PGI yesterday about how putting exit velocity on the screen is ruining baseball for him.
Oh, I did.
And it's just like that's silly. And everything about the take was like an old man, I don't actually pay that much attention take.
Yeah.
And it's fine. He's a busy guy. I'm not expecting. It was a bad take. Bad take from a homie.
I love Mike, but he's definitely getting to the yelling at the cloud stage of his career.
It's fine. That's fine. He's been around. He's a he's an OG. I did not like the take.
He's the one. Like Mike and Tony set the standard
for sure. And I love that PTI started because they would talk about they would argue in just the cubicles, and some producer was like, this should be a show.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was a show.
Yeah. The greatest story Mike told me was when...
sick drop.
Thank you. When he was still writing for the Post, And he was like, look, he was telling ESPN, I'm not quitting my writing job unless you make me an offer that I can't refuse.
Mm-hmm.
He said they promptly made him an offer he can't refuse, so he quit his job at the Post. He said when they put PTI together, they were hoping it would earn like half a share in the middle of the afternoon, and it wound up being a 2.1.
Man.
Like right out the gate. And
sounds
so
like our show.
In ratings wise, well, it's way bigger than a 2.1. But that 0.5, well, never mind. They're mad enough at me already. Yeah, that's set them in the position where now 20 some odd years later,
insane.
They're still rolling.
It's a staple in setting standards.
Yeah.
What do you guys got coming up?
Well, we're calling names out, that's for sure. We're going to go over this whole ballot. There's quite a bit to talk about, though. The new Sac State head coach is going to join us. I'm refraining from saying his name because I have to have it see it phonetically spelled in front of me. And Matt George, the birthday boy, will be with us in the 3 o'clock.
I love that. Nice. All right, very good. D'Lo and KC coming up next. We'll see you there.
Bring gas.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.